Blog Talk Radio.
Anticipating and wondering who will T. Meyer and Tusila TNT have on their show today. I know you've been wondering, you've been waiting, so now I just want to say welcome to hello and welcome to Christian Talk with T. Meyer and Tusila, also known as TNT. Hi, Tusila, how are you today?
I'm doing very good, and I want to say hello to all our friends and family all over the world, all our listeners, all our prayer warriors, those that pray for us and keep us lifted up. God bless you, and just say hello to everybody. Amen.
Yes, indeed. And, of course, I'm going to ask all of you to pick up your phones and grab your computers, go to your inbox or text your family and friends and encourage them to dial in right now. Our number to dial in is 646-668-8537. That's 646-668-8537. Or just click on the picture of T. Meyer and Tusila, or click on the link wherever you see our post for this particular show. And that's if you choose to listen from your computer. Just click on the link, okay? You might see our post on Facebook, Instagram. Yes, on Facebook, Instagram, Alignable, or Twitter. So, just click on the link and you can listen from your computer. On Facebook, you can listen from your computer all this week and even next week if you click on this particular show, okay? All righty. Oh, also, we're on HSBN.TV. Our show is called The Message of Life, and we are live on HSBN.TV and also live on Facebook. So you can catch us usually on Tuesdays, but I think we're going to be live tomorrow. So tune in to Facebook or HSBN.TV and you'll see us, okay? All righty. You can also find us on other social media TV shows and apps and platforms all through the week. So, like to name a few, On Demand, Roku, YouTube, iHeartRadio, and so many more. All you have to do is type in The Message of Life with T. Meyer and Tusila McCain. Okay? Okay, last announcement. We want to invite every one of you, I don't care where you are in the world, to come and worship with us.
Amen.
Come and worship
with us.
One
day we'll all be able to do that.
Exactly. Worship with us at Church of Jesus Christ Ministry We're located at 869 North Euclid Avenue. That's 869 North Euclid Avenue in Upland, California. And guess what? Our church services starts at 1:30 in the afternoon. That's right, 1:30 p.m., so you'll be able to sleep in a little bit, okay? But come and join us, 869 North Euclid Avenue, Upland, California, 91786 at 1:30 p.m., okay? We're easy to locate. We're in an upper room, so come on by. Say hi and worship with us, all right? Hey, listen, don't go away. We'll be right back. Stay there.
I've walked among the shadows, you wipe my tears away, and I've felt the pain of heartbreak, and I've seen the brighter days, and I break rest to heaven from my lowest place, and I have blessings, God, you give and take away. No matter what I have, your grace is enough. No matter where I am, I'm standing in your love. On the mountain I will bow my life to the one who set me there. In the valley I will lift my eyes to the one who sees me there. When I'm standing on the mountain, I didn't get there. I'm walking down the valley, I know I am not alone. You're God over hills and valleys, hills and valleys, God over hills and valleys, and I am not alone.
I've watched my dreams get broken, in you I hope again. No matter what, I know I'm safe inside your hand. On the mountain, I will bow my life to the one who set me there. In the valley, I will lift my eyes to the one who sees me there. When I'm standing on the mountain, I didn't get there on my own. When I'm walking down the valley, I know I am not alone. You're God of the
Tassila, what's going on here? What is this? Yep. most of you know what this means. It means that it's time for a TNT moment. Let's get ready for our TNT moment. Pastor Tosilo, what are we talking about today?
Oh, we have an interesting subject. It means, what does it mean to close doorways?
Now, very interesting.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Every month or so, we receive a phone call from individuals that speak on things going on in their lives that may or may not be happening. Something close to being abducted, or things being thrown from them, you know, from the sky, or them being hit in the head, or things tossed towards their way. And it really doesn't matter the situation. One thing that's for sure, and we all will agree on, is enemy activity from either something they are doing or allowing doorways to remain open. Doorways open or closed symbolize the transition, and it's a passageway from one world to another, from an end to a new beginning, from being attacked and bound to being liberated and free, to standing up and refusing to allow that particular thing to have authority over you, where you no longer allow it because you take authority over your bloodline, is the way to close doors. We are entering into a new authority here, people. And in the world's natural system, I spoke to our church about this before. When you fill out any paperwork or answer any questions, immediately they want to know who in your bloodline and has this or that type of sickness or disease or mental illness. So at that moment, you are acknowledging or making an acknowledgement that your bloodline is the carrier of crippling authorities. Now, listen at that. Like diabetes, breast cancer, renal failure, dementia, cataracts, colon, whatever, cancer, and so forth. While in the spirit realm, God has given us authority over all sicknesses and diseases, yet we suffer and feel like our lives are in vicious cycles. We are praying, yet some of us, of our healings, are not manifesting. And just be truthful about that. And I think the church will grow and be in a better place because God can take us to places to show us what's hindering these manifestations. And now I'm being candidly truthful. I still know and see Christians that are bound in addictions that they just can't seem to overcome. I've seen a man walk in 45 to 50 years of alcoholism. I have about 3 to 4 Christian friends who told me of how austere that their mothers were when they were growing up, and most of them are the spitting image of their mother. Could it be that some Christians are caught in a generational pattern or of a generational sin? Now, as far as the cross is concerned, Jesus set us free. He did. He really did, because I know a lot of you all going, well, we don't have to. And that's why a lot of things are happening, because a lot of Christians don't understand to live a full, you know, we know that Christ made it, that we should live a full life of peace, joy, and strength. However, let's live in the reality of the battle, because you're in a battle, but you're knowing this also. You must know and understand how to stand up and fight back. I always talk to you guys about how in the heavens there is a legal system. And in the courtrooms of the spiritual realm, the accuser of the brethren that brings legal claims against God's people. These charges can prevent us from receiving and all the things that Christ has for us. Jesus has already purchased on our behalf everything. But sometimes it actually gets to the fact that we must take a stand against generational bloodline spirits. The solution is to spiritually cleanse your bloodline through prayer and dissolving unholy covenants, sin-written acts that was in your family before your birth, like mental illness, adulteries, sexual sin, claims that exist since Adam, because it's not a family that hasn't been affected. That's why Christ died for all these things. And these are the things that influence our lives. When we pray bloodline prayers, we become specific in pinpointing those trouble besets. It's some troubling besets. And people know that they're troubled. But when they go to church, they be, amen, I'm doing, how you blessed, I'm great, good. And they're lying, and they're lying to themselves. Because they got to get down to the real problem. We actively apply the power of the cross. We are in a dot your I and cross your T's time. It's time for the birthing of our full man that Jesus died for. He just didn't die for our spirit. He died for your mind, your soul, and your spirit, because the devil is looking and hunting for any doorways to accuse the brethren on. Any doorways he can get us on, he's going to come. But bloodline closing of the doorways, prayers, is required for areas in our lives about what you could say that we inherited them from generations before us. It is about covenants, contracts, iniquities that have been handed down to us by our forefathers. These have the power to hinder us naturally and spiritually, despite our salvation. They prevent us from overcoming and spreading the kingdom of God around us. And that's the whole purpose. Satan wants to shut you down. They go all the way back to Adam. If you are truthful, you will see that we have something attached to us that shouldn't be. You may think, no, this is not possible. Jesus has delivered us from all of that. And you know you're not delivered from all of it. And that's the problem, because people won't be truthful. Mm-hmm. They'll mask before they tell the truth. But there are areas in our lives in which the complete work of the Messiah, Jesus, is not immediately made manifest through our salvation. Some things takes time. It's a process. Everything Jesus accomplished belongs to us 100%. Now, we have the power to bring those things into manifestation in every area of our lives, and it is to be done by force. In Matthew 11:12, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of God suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. So once is not a once and done, is a wrong Christian concept. I teach, preach, believe, and transformation. We must all be changed. That means we're starting from a baby. We're starting small, and then we're growing into the full stature of Christ. Are you at the full stature yet? No. So you must be transformed. You must be changed. And then in going through those processes and knocking off all that stuff, you have to admit where you're at. Not that you claim it. It's just that you got to get rid of it. You can't. I had a person that was 40-something years of cursing and just cursing and cursing and cursing in their mind and cursing from time to time, period. And because they needed to break those generational spirits off. And Corinthians 1:18, it says that we are being saved present, progressive tense, through the preaching of the cross. So here salvation is described as a process that is continually happening. The Bible also speaks of another salvation that is undeniable is going to take place in the future, and it is described in 1 Peter 1:5, where it is called a salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last times. The day that we receive Jesus in our hearts and our spirits are revived, we are revived and born again. It starts from there, yet there are still two parts of us that need salvation. And I get so upset because the church doesn't teach people that our souls and our bodies, our minds and our flesh need to be saved. So your flesh is having all kind of cravings and it's running around, and your mind, Satan is dropping things in your brain, and you're not raging a war against it, so you're just going along with it, and then it falls into your heart, and then your flesh starts desiring things. I remember somebody told me, I've been saved a long time, but I went in this area and I really wanted a beer. I wanted a beer bad because your flesh was out of control. Mm-hmm. That's why the Holy Spirit says, keep your spirit man built up so that your spirit will control your mind and your flesh. 1 Thessalonians 5:2-3, now may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus. Jesus said that our spirit is willing, but our bodies is weak. Paul speaks on this in Romans 7:21. He says, how his inward man, his spirit, delights in the laws of God, but there is another law in his members, in his flesh, which is the law of sin. He goes on to say he does things that he doesn't want to do, and that he doesn't do the things that he wants to do. You see, even though Paul was clearly saved, he still needed salvation in other areas of his being, in his mind and in his flesh. And God wants our whole bodies, our whole mind, our whole spirit to be saved. And there is no need for you to pray about your bloodline for salvation. Salvation is a result of your faith and a confession of your faith. And now I am talking about the cleansing of your bloodline and the closing of doorways. It's time for you to be placed in a position of authority that God desires for us to have, an authority and position that we need to take for the sake of the kingdom of God so we can expand it here and now. Point is, even though we have rights, authority, and blessings, if we don't align ourselves to them, we can't do anything with it. It just causes frustration. And a lot of people are walking around frustrated, saying, I tried that Christianity, but it didn't work. It didn't work for some reasons that you're not getting the full picture, because we do not see the effects of the authority God intended for us to have. And one of the reasons could be that the enemy still have legal rights in your life that allows the accuser to hold you back from your destiny. Go into heaven, speak to the Lord to break and close doors to all generational bloodline sin from off your life. I pray that the enemy will find no rights that will hinder the expansion of the kingdom of God that is supposed to come and happen through you. Because God wrote things about you for you to do. And the enemy knows that he wants to hinder you. The more we grow in authority, the more dangerous we become to the devil. That's why things in our bloodline that have not been searched out before now suddenly becomes relevant. But as we pray over our bloodlines and close doorways and dissolve all claims of the enemy, we will be released into truly living the life we are called to live. Revelation 12:10, then I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Messiah, for the accuser of our brethren and sister who accused them before our God day and night has been hurled down. Hear, listen, and ask God to break every chain that is tied, any legal rights of authority tied to your bloodline, so you will be able to move freely, expanding the true kingdom of God. And just go into prayer and ask the Father, please allow the Holy Spirit to bring to mind any generational things that need to be broken. In Jesus' name, amen.
Right, everybody, saying that's absolutely right. And I got a little something to say about all of that myself, but don't go away. We will be
right. Would you like to know a love so perfect. Well, let me introduce you to a perfect kind of love. Would you like to know his love is perfect? Well, let me introduce you to a perfect kind of love.
That love's so perfect,
'cause he knows what I feel inside.
He touches places
I try so hard to hide.
Those broken faces
that once made up my life.
Love lifts the darkness
with his overwhelming light. Perfect love, perfect love. God is, he is perfect love. Perfect love, perfect love. God is, perfect love.
Would you like to know a love so perfect?
Well, let me introduce you to a perfect kind of love.
Would you like to know his love is perfect?
Well, let me introduce you to a perfect kind of love.
His love is so perfect,
'cause he gave and restored my life.
In a single moment
he won my battle and my fight.
Those falling moments
when I thought I would not survive, failing at no time.
Perfect love.
Now, the question was asked, what does it mean to close doorways? Well, first of all, a doorway is an opening, a portal. It is a legal way that demons can enter into your life in order to take control of you. Demons will use anything for a doorway, anything or any kind of situation that may have latched themselves to or maybe a trap that lured you as you are drawn into the trap by your lust or secret desires. They must have a legal right to enter into your home, your mind, your finances, and even your bodies. And usually you give them that right. Unforgiveness is a doorway for demons. Demons love to use this doorway because it destroys you more than the person that you can't forgive. And you yourself stand a chance of not being forgiven if you don't close that door. This is what Jesus said about unforgiveness, Matthew chapter 6, verse 14. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. You can close that door by forgiving that person. And if forgiving that person is hard to do, then ask the Lord to help you. Ask him to help you forgive, and he will. Pride is also a doorway, and demons love this doorway. They have trapped many well-meaning Christians by their own foolish pride. Just remember what the scripture says in Proverbs 16, verse 18, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Keep in mind that demons want you to fall. Therefore, they feed your pride until you are in bondage to it. Demons want you to be in bondage to your doorways so that you can keep them open, and demons can gain more and more control. Possessing certain objects are also doorways for demons. You can purchase something from a store, a gift shop, or wherever, and have no idea that a demon is attached to it. A demon has latched itself to it. So ask the Holy Spirit to let you know if there is an object in your home that may have a demon attached to it. And if so, throw it away or anoint it and command that demon to loose his hold on that object and cast that demon out of your home. Make sure that your heart isn't wrapped up in that particular object because it could become an idol. Joshua 24, verse 23. Now, therefore, put away, said he, the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. Here's another doorway. Lust. This is a favorite doorway for demons. It can weaken a man. It is almost like a demon is leading a man on a leash right into the arms of another woman. God's word warns us not to lust in Proverbs chapter 6, verse 25. Do not lust in your heart for her beauty, or let her captivate you with her eyes. And especially when it comes to married men, demons love to entice a married man and cause them to fall. Matthew chapter 5, verse 28. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. And women, this goes for you as well. Remember Potiphar's wife. She lusted after Joseph in Genesis 39, verse 7. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, lie with me. Joseph was smart. He ran. Sometimes we must run from evil so that we will not get caught up. So I say this to all men and women, married or not, practice self-control, as it is written in Job 31, verse 1. I have made a covenant with my eyes. How then could I gaze with desire at a virgin? We must have self-control. Here's another doorway, greed. Greed causes people to covet, steal, and even kill to get what they want. Proverbs 15, verse 27, the greedy brings ruin to their household, but the one who hates bribes will live. Because of your greed, you are never at peace with anyone. Proverbs 28, verse 25, the greedy stir up conflict, but those who trust in the Lord will prosper. Just remember how the Lord warns us about greed in Luke chapter 12, verse 15. Then he said to them, watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions. Another doorway, and this is serious, is the need to be praised, recognized, seen, admired, desired. All of these things are doorways for demons to legally enter into your lives. Mankind really want to be praised, and they want to praise other people, as it is written in John chapter 12, verse 43, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. People continually do things in the congregation to lift themselves up. I heard today a pastor fussing at his congregation because they didn't buy him a watch, a very expensive watch, a Movado, however you pronounce it. He was right there in front just fussing at his congregation because they didn't buy him an expensive watch. Come on, church, where are we? These are those who want to be noticed because of what they wear, the clothes they have on, the jewelry, and so on. Matthew 23, verse 57. But all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries, which means their clothing, and enlarge the borders of their garments. We must be careful. We cannot do things just to be seen of people. Even when you give alms or pay your tithes, when you do something for the church or for the congregation, you still don't try to stand out so you can be seen. As it is written in Matthew chapter 6, verse 2, therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues or in the churches and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Truly I say unto you, they have their reward. All these things are legal doorways that demons feed off of legally. Now, why do you say legally, Pastor T. Meyer? Because you give them a legal right. You give these demons a legal right to control you. You give them a legal right to come through the doorways when you submit to their subliminal suggestions. Keep in mind that just because you may have received a subliminal suggestion from a demon or a person, that doesn't mean that you have to give in to it. People make their mistake when they give in to these suggestions. Subliminal suggestions are everywhere, on television, at the movies, on the internet, the radio, even in advertisements, in magazines, or in the street. All of these things are suggestions, but the subliminal suggestions that opens up doorways are the ones given to you personally by evil spirits, demons. 1 John chapter 2, verse 26, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And these are all doorways that the world has opened themselves up to. They've opened themselves up to demons. I'm talking about the world. So how do we resist these things, you may ask? How do we free ourselves from these doorways? Well, the answer is very simple if you're willing to do it. James chapter 4, verse 7, submit to God. Resist the devil and he will flee. Satan will flee. He will run when you totally and fully and seriously submit to God. That's how you rid yourself of these doorways. This is how you close the doors, because the Holy Spirit will show you any door that's open and you can close it. All right? All right. Amen and amen. Hey, listen, stay right here and we will be back with our special guests. Don't go away. Listening to Christian Talk with T. Meyer and Tasila, also known as TNT. Our special guest tonight.
I wanted to say something. I wanted to tell the people about a picture a lady was trying to show me of her boyfriend's house. And in the house, she's put her picture in about 4 or 5 places, and she took a picture of it. And every picture, he had a statue or an imp and all kinds of demonic things all over his house. And I was like, he doesn't even realize he's housing the enemy.
He got those objects. He don't know. Right. He don't know what's actually attached to those objects as well. And just by having that figure in there. Yeah. Wow.
What's in the attic? We need to go in the attic and see what's in the attic. I remember the children of Israel had something that God wouldn't allow them to win or move until they got rid of it, that Achan had.
Right, exactly.
So people could do that with unaware, and like the whole tribe didn't know that he stole that object.
Right.
So sometimes things are in our houses and around us, and we just don't know. So we got to ask the Holy Spirit to point those things out, because it could be causing havoc in your house. Amen.
Absolutely.
Anyway.
That is correct. All right.
I can't wait to see our special guest today.
Our special guest tonight is our beloved sister, Kelly Heiling. Hi, Kelly. How are you today?
I'm so blessed. Hi, everyone. Hi, Pastor T and
Tequila.
Hi. Hello to everyone out there. Blessings to all my brothers and sisters in the Lord, and I'm looking forward to tonight.
Amen.
Praise
Let
the
me
Lord.
Tell everybody, I'm going to tell everybody a little bit about Kelly, okay? Kelly turned 55 years old this year, and don't worry, I got her permission to tell you that, okay? And is still growing strong in the Lord. She's still growing strong and is very blessed. So far, the Lord has given her 29 beautiful years of marriage to a wonderful husband, Jeff. Her wonderful husband, Jeff.
Hi, Jeff.
Very nice guy. You guys would love Jeff. And still, and they're still counting the years for many more good years of marriage. She was blessed to be a stay-home mom to her children, her two beautiful children, Sydney and Jacob, and they are some beautiful people. Kelly taught
fitness classes. Hi, Sydney. Hi, Jacob.
They're waving. I see them. Kelly taught fitness classes for 25 years and was referee for club soccer for 10 years. She's been walking with the Lord for as far back as she can remember, but asked him into her heart at age 12. Her absolute love is for her Lord and Savior and then her family. They are her everything. Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome Kelly Heiling. Hello, sister. That's the crowd.
Hello.
Yeah.
I think that tonight with both of your messages, before we get started, I think you both just read my testimony. I mean, I am full-blown in exactly what you said today, absolutely. And this is what I love about you, and the Lord has really been bringing the scripture up to me the past probably week, is you tell the truth in love. You tell the truth in love. And, you know, the church, when we're born again, and that's the Lord into our heart, the church has not been responsible enough to guide us. You know, we're born again, and then we're kind of let loose, and we don't know what to do, and we read our Bible, but we don't understand what we fight against, and we are a target. And I would love to have you been in my life 40 years ago, because I could have been spared all of my sinful trials from the messages that you give. And this is what I love about you too, is you tell the truth in love, and you tell the true gospel, and you speak his word, not your word, it's his word. And people don't understand, and this was in my notes because I had to write some notes. I've been talking to the Lord all day. He's probably just about done with me, but We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We wrestle against principalities, powers, and against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Most people don't understand, you know, there's Prince of the Air, and he's in control, yeah. And he is very wise, smart, and he knows mankind. He knows how to work our emotions. He knows how to do his little scheming. But once you understand and you have that foundation of the Lord who lives in you and grows in you, he's going to protect you from all that. He's going to give you the spirit of discerning. And you can get, you know, Paul says you can learn the schemes of the devil. They're not new. He does the same thing over and over and over again. And the Lord is exposing that now with what we're going through in this world. It's so I appreciate what you said, but I don't know if I should go on because you just spoke my testimony. And I'm so glad you brought that up to Sila, because some of the things I was going to say tonight sounds, you know, off the wall, but it's what I experienced as a child. So first I want to thank you for letting me share my testimony. You know, to me, it's more than just a testimony. It's, you know, it's a love story with the Lord and I. And so I want to thank you. I know you asked me the other day, Priscilla, and, you know, I wanted to pray about it because I'm not always the best speaker. My thoughts don't always come out correctly, so I will apologize now for that. But I've asked the Holy Spirit to take over as soon as possible. And so I just, you know, I want to start with a prayer, and I want to start with my favorite scripture. So I just want to ask the Lord tonight, and I want to thank Father, I just want to thank you ahead of time for the words that are going to come through me. I just would love for it to touch someone, heal a broken heart, lift people up with encouragement that we are all going through the same things. We're not alone. And we're always reaching out to the Lord, and he's always great, gracious to be there, which brings me to the story of Peter when, you know, he's on the water walking and he goes out to meet the Lord, and he takes his eyes off the Lord. That's our problem. We take our eyes off the Lord and mm-hmm. start thinking about water. And Lord, help me, help me. And what does the Lord do? The first thing he does is he reaches his hand. Oh, you of little faith, I'm here. I'm here for you. I'm always here for you. You know, he is our rock, our foundation, and he will never leave us. He's promised. He promises, and I stand on his word. He will never leave us or forsake us. So tonight, Father God, I just ask that you would first fill me with the Holy Spirit and let the Holy Spirit take over. And, you know, just reach out to anybody who needs to hear this word. You know, bring your glory down to us. Fill us up with your peace, your joy, and your love, the peace that you can only give. And so, Father God, I just ask you to be all over these words tonight. Father, let them see you in me. Let them hear you in me. Let them feel you in me. And let them feel your love, Lord. Let them feel all of you. And let your light shine. And I give this night, this testimony, Lord, that we have together in honor of you. And all glory goes to you. Always want to make sure I stay lowly and meek and never bring myself into it. So I thank you, Lord, for this time, for the fellowship with all my brothers and sisters around the world who are looking for you. Because, Lord, you are our hope. You are our only hope. You are absolute blessed hope. So I thank you again, Father God, for always hearing my prayers. I ask this in your precious Son's name, Jesus Christ, and by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Amen. That was beautiful.
Well, thank you. And again, thank you for letting me share, you know, this testimony. The Lord, again, brought me to another scripture and revelation of an overcomer and, you know, being washed by the blood of the Lamb. And the word of our testimony, and that we did not love mm-hmm. our life even unto death. And so that's why I'm here tonight to share. It's just not my testimony. It's me and my Lord. It's our testimony, and it's our love story. Just as all of you out there, you have a testimony You have a love story with the Lord. He is the author and he is the finisher of our faith. And he has written a story for each one of us. He loves us so, so very much. So I just like to start with one of my favorite scriptures. And then, you know, I'll go ahead and start. And again, thank you so much, Cecilia, for your message tonight, because that's me. That is absolutely me. I'm not just one that hadn't followed the Lord forever, and then all of a sudden he appeared in my life. I am the queen of backsliding. I'm the queen of falling down. But I know you have taught us it's not so much how you fall and fail, because the Lord is always willing to forgive. He is merciful and faithful to forgive us. It's how we get up and move forward. It's moving forward, even if it's only an inch, even if it's only an hour at a time. It's moving forward in the Lord, because he will carry us. I expect him to carry me across that finish line. You know, we're all running a race, and I want him to carry me, because I want to give him the honor and glory for helping me all. So I'm going to start with one of my favorite scriptures, and it's in, of course, the book of John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. Skip down a little bit. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. Glory is of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. And this brings me to my love story, my testimony, the Holy Bible, the greatest love story ever written. It's alive. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. Brings hope. It brings encouragement. It's an example for us. And God loves us so much that he wrote it for us. He loves his creation. He loves mankind. He wants us to fellowship with him. So simple. And he's love. That's what the Lord is. He is love. God is love, and the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. And so this is my love story. And so as a child, like you had said, Pastor T, as far back as I can remember, maybe kindergarten, I suppose, I've always had that presence of the Lord. I wasn't, you know, saved at the time. I hadn't asked him into my heart, but I remember living in Florida, probably about kindergarten, going to a church Christmas ceremony. So this is back in the 70s, I suppose, early 70s. And I know the Lord was with me at that Christmas show. I sensed him there. He's always been with me. And I think, you know, when you have a calling on your life, I think Satan can see that. And I have been bothered by Satan as far back as I can remember. I was extremely afraid of the dark. My mother, when I was very young, used to actually have to lock my door at night because she would wake up and couldn't find me because I was afraid of the dark, and I could maybe sense things or hear things. So I was always bothered. So you're right, Cecilia, with looking back now, it was probably some type of, you know, generational something. So I've always been aware of that other side. So I've always been kind of bothered. But the Lord's always been there too. When I was about 7 years old, 1974, I guess it was, the Lord gave me my first gift. So the Lord's always giving me gifts in here. I'm going to brag on the Lord. And it was my first Bible. It was the Children's Living Bible. It's a paraphrase type of a Bible, so it's full scriptures, not like them today. I actually still have it. The Lord had me get it out maybe a couple of years ago, and I actually read that. And when I go to church, I bring it with me. I keep it on the side of my table. So I always have it with me. So that was, you know, the Lord gives us gifts, but it's through, you know, other people. He actually gave me a cross when I was in high school that I actually still wear. So the gifts are always so nice. So we moved from Florida to California about third grade, and we started going to a Presbyterian church. And actually, everyone, it's the same church that Pastor T and Tasila minister at now. So that's a complete circle. Haven't been down there yet, but I want to. Actually live a little bit, a couple hours from there now. But so we grew up as a family. There's four siblings and my parents, and they took us to church. It was a Presbyterian church. It's the same one that you teach at. And I loved it. I loved going to church. I loved taking communion every week. I loved the singing of the songs, of the hymns. I loved carrying my Bible. You know, I loved getting dressed up. I would, you know, the Lord just grabbed me, and I loved watching all of the Christian movies, you know, back in the 70s, as you remember, you know, like the Ten Commandments and, you know, the Jesus right. of Nazareth and, you know, all the Christmas. I just, you know, the Lord was always present with me, but at the same time, you know, I always had these, you know, other things that I was being bothered with. You know, times when you go to sleep and it's hard for you to wake up, and then they bother you. So this is what's, you know, like to see what you were saying earlier about the, you know, being attacked and stuff. People don't understand that. And I think it had to do with the generational stuff, because they would bother me at night. But as a child, I had no idea. I was just afraid of the dark. I had to turn the lights on. Mm-hmm. So with my home life, it wasn't always the best. We did grow up like most other people. You know, there was a lot of dysfunction in the family. And it wasn't always my parents' fault. They had kind of rough upbringings themselves, and you know, I wasn't always very close to my family. I was actually the black sheep of my family. But the Lord showed me today, Kelly, that's okay. You know, grab that title, because you are a sheep. You know, you follow the shepherd, and you're now white as snow. You are washed in the blood. So own that. And so I'm going to own that. He showed me that today as we were conversing all day. So I did have a hard upbringing. I felt lonely. I always didn't feel loved from my parents. Not always their fault. I distanced myself from my family. I would build up walls just to kind of, you know, protect my feelings. So it was somewhat lonely, but I knew the Lord was always with me, and I always had my neighbor's mom, a friend that I grew up with. Her mom was a Christian, and so about 12 years old, my neighbor, I was always over there, and we were always talking about the Lord, and she's the one who led me in the sinner's prayer, and her name was Lillian, and I will always be grateful for that. I talked to my friend Wendy, which is her mom, and she doesn't remember it, but she prayer, and I was saved.
Kelly, how old were you then when she led
12.
You to the Lord?
I was about 12 years
okay.
old. Yeah, I was about 12 years mm-hmm. old. So that you know, started a little bit closer journey with the Lord, but you know, once you've asked the Lord into your heart, you know, that light starts shining, that seed starts growing, and now you've got a target on your back. And again, unfortunately, unless you have good, strong mentors with you to guide you, you're lost. So you're still seeking the Lord. You're still being attacked. Then you start opening doors. Then you have all those other issues. You know, the Lord does say, you know, you are going to have trials and tribulations. But, you know, if you don't have those mentors to help you, this is why my backsliding, you know, started. So the Lord led me, believe it or not, the first book I ever read was the book of Revelation. So that began my journey of prophecy. So all my life I have geared towards more prophecy. I guess that's what the Lord wanted me to do. And the book never scared me. It, you know, it's the revelation of the Lord. It's an end time map to help you get through what's coming, and it's so relative for the days we live in now because we know the days are growing darker. And
amen.
We need more of that light. So I read that, you know, that book, Revelation, and the Lord actually gave me, you know, a couple of dreams. So I have had a few dreams of the Lord, two of the rapture, of meeting him in the air. And another dream that I really haven't shared with anybody, it was kind of a personal dream of the Lord, but I will share it with you. And it's actually in Luke 7. And it means a lot to me, but I feel the Lord wants me to share it because I think a lot of us are that, you know, would just love to sit at the Lord's feet. So it's in the book of Luke. It's Luke 7, 36 through 50. And it's when the Lord goes and is asked to go to a Pharisee's house. And there's a woman there, and it's a well-known sinner. And she found out that, you know, the Lord was going to be there. And so she went to the house and, you know, she stood behind the Lord and she was weeping. And she was weeping on his feet, and she was wiping her hair with his tears. And, you know, the Pharisees were like, in their minds, you know, do you know who this is? You know, and the Lord, of course, knew, you know, what they were thinking. And so he told them the, you know, parable of the two debtors. And, you know, one had a lot of debt, the other didn't as much. And, you know, the person they owed the debt to forgave both of them. And the Lord's like, well, who do you think should, you know, be forgiven more? And it's the one who sinned the most, I guess, Lord. And that's me. You know, I have sinned greatly, greatly against the Lord. And I was weeping at his feet. And it was a beautiful dream. He's let me remember it since this day, and I think I had it when I was a teenager. And so, you know, I think a lot of us would love to weep at his feet and kiss his feet because we love him, you know, so much. So those are the three sweet dreams that the Lord has, you know, given me very early on. So as I move on, you know, my growing up in teenage years, a little bit rebellious to parents, and, you know, just wanted to do my own thing. I wasn't very close to them. So I got close to my friends, and both my best friend and my boyfriend were Catholic. And so here I am seeking the Lord, thinking, okay, this is where I need to go now. I started going to church with both of them and got into, you know, going to their churches and, you know, wanting to become a nun. You know, I wanted to serve the Lord and become a nun. But, you know, just, you know, that was not where I should have been. But I didn't know it at the time because, you know, the Lord's church is the Lord's church. You know, I'm now, which is what I love about your church, it's Jesus Christ. It's his church, you know, so.
Right, right.
So, you know, growing up, getting myself in trouble, but still, you know, praying to the Lord, trying to learn about the Lord. So I'm walking a fence. You know, I've got 2 feet in one world, you know, one in the evil kingdom, and I've got 1 foot in the Lord's kingdom. And I've walked that way most of my life. you know, I'm walking a fence, and, you know, we can't do that anymore. You know, this, especially in these days, you know, you're on one side or the other. You have to be. You know, if you're not on the Lord's side walking a fence, you're not walking with him, and you really need to. So from about 18 to 20, these were my worst years. And, you know, the Lord, you know, is putting on my heart to confess these things. And I don't mind confessing them out because I know we're forgiven. And the reason I'm sharing these things with everyone is in hope that you won't follow my example, that you will lean on the Lord and you will know that he will help you through everything. And don't let other people drag you down. Be your own person with the Lord. And that was my problem. I was estranged from my family. I really didn't have guidance. I didn't feel loved. And I was just walking walking down the hole. And I was with my boyfriend, and I had two babies. And my boyfriend didn't want the babies. And I was not strong enough to raise them on my own and say, no, I'm going to raise these babies. So I lost two babies from that. And that was around 18. And then I got myself in trouble by stealing. So I'm a stealer, and I am also taking lives. And the Lord's like, okay, enough. And he nipped it in the bud, and he had me arrested. I was arrested for stealing. And those, you know, are not proud moments in my life, obviously. And at one point, when my kids were older, teenage years, the Lord had me tell my children. That was very difficult. But I shared it with them because I don't want them going down those same paths I went down there. I want them to lean on the Lord and know no matter what, no matter if you're on the streets, no matter if you get pregnant, no matter anything, the Lord is always with you. He is the God of the impossible. If he can part the Red Sea, do not think he can help me raise children. So I'm saying these things for others out there who think they have no hope or they're not worthy. We're not worthy. We're horrible. In this flesh, I have the most wicked heart. And I have no right to go to heaven, but I have a Savior, and I have a Redeemer who loves me as much as he loved his Son. And that's why I'm here tonight, to share the testimony with the Lord to help those others out there. There is nothing the Lord cannot forgive. If he can forgive I think I'm the most wicked person with a wicked heart. Without him, that's who I am. Without the Lord in my life, that is absolutely who I am. I'm a manipulator. I can be conniving. I will lie if I need to. That's who I am. But with the Lord, I can't do that. He wants to be me to be holy as he is holy. So those were my two worst years of my life, no doubt. And the Lord nipped it in the bud. He's like, you are not going down this path. And he rebuked me. He chastened me. He's like, you're not doing this. So that's the worst of it. It's over. And so I moved on, and I decided to go to classes at the Catholic Church, and then was baptized, and you know, things definitely got better from there. I was getting closer to the Lord, but still seeking him and still no guidance, but just trying to figure things out on my own. Going to church, and then I was about 23, and I met my future husband, Jeff. And for the first time in my life, I felt loved. I felt somebody cared. I felt he wouldn't judge me. He loved me for who I was. But that person was becoming who she was because of the Lord, not because of on her own, but it was because of what the Lord was doing in her life. And So for, 23 years of my life, I was really lost, although I always had the Lord with me. So it's not like I didn't know, you know, he was always there. I just backslid time after time after time. You know, I'm the one that has to be forgiven 7 times 77. You know, it should be more like 7 times 7,000 because that's how many sins I believe. But again, you know, the Lord is so merciful and so gracious. He loves us so very much. He'll forgive mm-hmm. you. He wants you in his kingdom. He just loves you. It's so simple. It is love. It is absolute love. So mm-hmm. I met my husband and, you know, again, loving the Lord, going to church. We lived together for 3 years. So again, I'm not fully walking with the Lord. You know, I'm still going against him. And we lived together for, you know, about 3 years, and then we're married, had a beautiful wedding. The Lord, again, blessed me with such a beautiful wedding. It was at a Catholic church. I wouldn't probably do that now. I'd probably have Pastor T and Cecilia Marius. But he gave me an absolute beautiful wedding. The gifts were just beautiful. Everything was so beautiful about it. He gave me, in fact, funny story, growing up, and this is still the Lord because he's intervened so many times in my life, I could probably write a book on it. Growing up, I always wanted to name my son Jeff, and here I am, I'm marrying Jeff, you know, so he always does those funny things, you know, he always steps in. You know, and you always realize, oh, boy, the Lord stepped in right there, you know. And so mm-hmm. he's always been so gracious to me. And then we, you know, had 2 children, Sydney and Jacob. And he blessed me after what I did earlier. He still blessed me with children. You see, the Lord still blesses us, even in our mm-hmm. worst times, even though we backstab, he still blesses, and he has blessed me so many times in my life, so many times with the children. And I, like you said, Pastor T, I was blessed to be a stay-home mom. I sang to my children Christian songs as I was pregnant. You know, I showed them Christian videos. I would pray with my children. But again, still, you know, wasn't walking fully with the Lord. And about 5 years, I think Jacob was about 5 years. We had gone to church until he was about 5. And then we just got busy with life, you know. And we, soccer and school and, you know, just stopped going to church and, you know, getting, you know, busy with life. But still, you know, praying to the Lord. I am a prayer. I told Cecilia, I've always been a prayer. I've prayed all my life, as far back as I can remember. I always pray to the Lord. I always have talked to the Lord. I'm always writing mm-hmm. love notes to the Lord. I keep a journal next to my bed in case he, you know, gives me a dream of something that I need to remember. Always writing love notes to the Lord and thanking him and blessing him. But again, I've got 1 foot, you know, in his world, and then I've got 1, you know, foot in Satan's world. And so, mm-hmm. you know, I think it was around about 2005. So now I've gone from Presbyterian to, you know, Catholic, and then I went to a Baptist church with the children, went to a Calvary church. Then I got into New Age. So there's the devil for you, you know, waiting. Mm. He's like a roaring lion, waiting who he's going to destroy and devour. And unless you have that foundation of the Lord, you're like a sinking ship, and you're going to go through these trials yeah. over and over and over again. And that's what they're for. I mean, the Lord needs us to learn. I mean, the Lord wanted Adam to learn. He wanted Adam to go straight into, you know, he wanted Adam to have that glory. But, you know, he didn't, you know, he, you know, mm-hmm. sinned. And so, you know, the Lord had to come and he had to fix it, you know? And so Okay, so I got into the New Age. So it was like you said, Jasila, the crystals and this and the that, and I had my rosary beads and I had my idols and I had my candles and then I had my books and, you know, I had the mediums I was listening to and I had, you know, forget what that one, secret video. Remember the secret? Got into that.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
You know,
right. Everything that's good without Christ.
Yep. You know, and it's just because I'm seeking the Lord. I'm always, okay, maybe it's here, maybe it's there. And, you know, I've been to the Vatican. I traveled to the Vatican. Maybe it's at the Vatican. And still, again, one foot in, one foot out, and I got into all that, ancient aliens and UFOs. And I did that for maybe about five or 6 years. And even believing to the point of, okay, you know, why would the Lord send everybody to hell? Why is there a hell? The Lord's not going to send everybody to hell. And, you know, yeah, it's okay to be gay and be married. You know, it's okay. You know, I actually even think I voted for that one time. Of course, I had to repent from it later on. But I kind of followed that path for a while. And so, yeah, I'm opening doors left and right. I mean, but again, I'm still praying to the Lord. I still write him love notes. You know, I'm still worshiping, you know, and I'm learning different things. I actually was involved in prison ministry, church prison ministry, where you would write to prisoners. Which I absolutely enjoyed. I did that for maybe about a year or two early on in Jeff and in our early marriage. So I see I'm involved, but I'm walking around just, you know, lost still, you know. So about 2012, the Lord got a hold of me. It's like, okay, now I've put you through the ringer. I've put you through the wash enough. And that's when he really started working with me. And he started leading me to different websites. So I started listening to, say, like David Wilkerson, a pastor in New York who's gone on to be with the Lord, Derek Prince.
Right.
And had me reading about Spurgeon, Catherine Clumidge, I think it was.
Yes.
So he started now steering me and teaching me about the other side, the other realm, and how, you know, they manipulate the things that, like you said, Pastor T, you know, the mind control, the sublimium stuff on TV, on the TV shows, on the commercials. And this goes way back. You know, I've seen shows, I mean, as way back as in the early 70s, late 60s, and now when I go back and look at that, I'm like, you have got to be kidding me. They have been doing and planning. Satan's good, you know. We have to give him credit on that. He's good, but the Lord's revealing it to us now and really waking a lot of people up on the schemes of what he does. And so, you know, he brought me to different websites, and Derek Prince, you know, I don't know if you know about him, but he's the one that talks about the generational curses and talks about I was throwing things out left and right. Crystals were gone. I mean, anything that I had any suspect of, I actually threw away. It was a little bit tough, but I did it, and it was okay. It was all for the Lord. I threw away the rosary beads that was given to me when I was baptized at 21. And I was like, nope, this is done. You know, so I threw everything out. Just like in the Old Testament, I forget where it is in the Old Testament where they burned everything and they threw everything away. You know, it's because once you realize what's going on, I cleared the house out. It was a done deal. I repented on everything. You know, like Cecilia said, you pray, you know, for those generational curses, you know, what came through. We don't know from my age now all the way back to Adam. We don't know. I mean, I can see now growing up, I was a target very quickly at a very young age, and I had no idea what was going on. But I always know the Lord was there. I always know He's there with me. Mm-hmm. He promises to be there, even when we're our worst. He's going to be there. He mm-hmm. looks past that. He knows the end from the beginning. He knows our mm-hmm. heart. We may not always know it. And, you know, Satan's great at putting us down all the time. You know, we
mm-hmm.
tend to listen to that more than we say, you know, the Lord loves us. We're special to him. We're unique. Do you not know that his thoughts for you are as numerous as the sands on the sea or the stars in the sky? You know, he numbers the hairs on our head. He knows it. He knows when we sit down and when we stand up. You know, he was there when we were born. He gave us the breath of life the moment we were born. It was his breath. You know, he gave mm-hmm. it to him. So he gave me these websites. I started listening to David Wilkerson, Derek Prince, and then Divine Intervention. I was sitting at a park bench. Some guy is riding by on a bike, sits down, starts talking to me, and tells me about this book called The Emmaus Code. And it's written by David Limbaugh. So that was my first book. I've probably got a good collection of 30 books now. So between 2012 and now, I just read to learn. And so if anybody's interested in a wonderful, wonderful book, I've read it several times, and it's The Emmaus Code, written by David Limbaugh. And you know, when the Lord, after he was resurrected, and, you know, he was walking on the road to Emmaus, and he walks with two fellow, you know, disciples, and they don't recognize him at first. And he starts talking with them, and he tells them the whole story of the Old Testament and how the Old Testament, everything points to the Lord. Everything points to the Lord. Of course, we know the whole Bible.
Right.
And so that helped me go back and read the Old Testament and really get a grasp of it. So I definitely recommend that book for anyone out there. It's called The Emmaus Code. And so he steered me towards other books and authors, Dr. Michael Lake, who wrote The Shinar Directive. So that mm-hmm. got, you know, Nimrod, you know, Babylon, the Nephilim, the giants, all those, you know, and he has actually several books. So Dr. Michael Lake, he's a wonderful author. Michael Heisner, Tom Horn, Russ Dizdar. So I was just a bookworm. I was just soaking it and soaking it and soaking it. In fact, I feel even to this day, I'm like just cramming for this final exam. And I know the finish line is coming soon, because it's just a filling up of the Lord's word and the things that he's revealing to me. So come 2018, this is where I meet my two pastors. Again, another time of divine intervention. I've never been to a Christian mm-hmm. conference. Haven't gone to a church in probably about 17 years. And I just happened to see this man, Sadhu, on a TV station. And he was going to Lancaster, and he was going to speak at Lancaster. And I had kind of been following him for a few months, and I'm like, okay, well, I've never been to a Christian conference. I'm going to go. I, you know, so happened I was on the first day of buying tickets, get there. It's a three-day conference at a church in Lancaster. And I think it was the second night. And the Lord told me, you're going to go in last. You know, last is first. You know, first is last. And I'm like, okay. So I literally went in last. And I'm looking for a seat. Wanted to sit up front because Sadhu was actually speaking that night. And there was an empty chair by a pole. And there was a gentleman there. And I said, is the seat available? And he said, yeah, have a seat. So I sat down and we started chatting, and he's like, hi, my name is Bill. And I said, hi, my name is Kelly. And we just started talking.
And I'm going to have to, Kelly, I'm going to have to stop you right there because we're running out of time. We're going to have you back to finish this story. Okay.
Oh, goodness. Okay.
We're going to have to want to thank everybody for tuning in. This is extremely interesting to me. And I can't wait to hear the other part. I know that you have a lot more, and we want you to share it. So So we're gonna ask you to come back and share this story with us. In the meantime, everybody, God bless you. We have to go. Bye-bye.
Good night.
God bless you all.